Hello, and welcome to Quick Charge by Electrek. I'm Mikey G, and it's Thursday, October 6th. Tesla has been officially upgraded to the investment grade of long-term credit rating by the S&P Global Ratings. Despite delivering profits for more than 2 years straight and building a cash position of over $18 billion and sitting on very little debt, Tesla has been, up until now, rated as a junk bond by rating companies such as S&P Global Ratings and Moody's Investor Service. Today, S&P Global Ratings announced that it raised its long-term credit rating on Tesla from BB+ to BBB, which is the automaker's first investment-grade rating. While this upgrade may not be important for the average investor and Tesla shareholders, it is actually a big deal for some larger funds that often have a policy not to invest in companies that have anything less than an investment-grade rating. This has been a long time coming, actually. Tesla has been generating billions of dollars in net income every quarter for quite a while now, but got the cold shoulder up until now. Many believe that Elon Musk's personal behavior has held Tesla back from receiving these ratings. Do you remember the year 2012? I sincerely hope so. A new online dashboard was launched by the Environmental America Research and Policy Center and the nonpartisan research center, the Frontier Group. It says the EV sales in 2021 were 647,000 in the U.S., which is a 13-fold increase from the year 2012. The group also revealed that the number of EV chargers in the U.S. exceeded 120,000 in the year 2021, which is a 20-fold increase from the year 2012. The more you know. Honda has unveiled the design of the Prologue, its first electric SUV. It's a vehicle that they co-developed with General Motors. Like most of its Japanese peers in the auto industry, Honda has been quite lagging when it comes to all-electric vehicles, and it kind of shows with a vehicle like this that is a heavy partnership. For years now, Honda has been teasing this vehicle, and we finally get to take a look at the intent for the interior and exterior. Honda did release a few more details about the design in the press release, including the fact that it's going to be bigger than the CR-V, which has been built on the Honda Civic platform. Honda didn't release any specs, but they do expect it to be something similar to the Blazer EV, since it will have similar dimensions and be built on the same battery platform. Sales will begin not in 2022 or 2023, but in 2024. Toyota has announced that it will resume sales of its first EV, the bZ4X. This is following a safety recall that was concerning the risk of the wheels falling off. Months later, the Japanese automaker appears to have found a fix to the manufacturing defect and plans to resume the bZ4X production immediately. That bZ4X was made in the same time frame that Toyota partnered with Chinese company BYD for other electric products, but it's not clear if the bZ4X was in line with that partnership. Toyota does have a deep partnership with the Japanese company Subaru, who has used the bZ4X platform for their own vehicle that Subaru calls the Solterra. Neither the Subaru nor Toyota have a great deal of sales on their vehicles so far, since the recall halted sales during peak buying period. Stay tuned for my expanded thoughts on Toyota's EV aspirations. Amazon is ordering 20 electric trucks from Volvo as part of their electrification efforts for large delivery and supply chain uses. Amazon already has an existing order for 100,000 electric vehicles from Rivian, 1,800 from Mercedes, and 10 from Lion Electric. And now, here we are with 20 more from Volvo. Rideshare provider Uber has signed a 10-year multi-market commercial agreement with Motional, which is a developer of driverless robo-taxis. Motional's autonomous driving technology is a joint venture between Hyundai Motor Group and Aptiv. According to Motional, the partnership is the first in the industry to include both driverless ride hailing and also delivery services. While this agreement is actually for a decade, at least for now, they're going to be using the Hyundai IONIQ 5 as their basic platform. Speaking of the Hyundai IONIQ 5, the IONIQ 5 can power loads with its V2L capability, and Hyundai showed images of a tent-covered hotel that is powered by a few cars. Very cute. Okay, it is opinion time. It's a mystery that I cannot solve, the mystery of Toyota's EV aspirations. I've heard it said that in Japan, reliability is everything. At one point, the country was seen as the cutting edge of technology, but now it's a strange place between the past and the future. A place where toilets will sing happy birthday, and where the mini-disc and flip cell phones only recently lost favor. I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that the big reason most of the Japanese auto companies are lagging in electric is because they are following the market leader, which is Toyota. Toyota is big, very big, and it's no secret that they have been copied and emulated for many inside and outside of the car industry. But regarding electric, it is true that Toyota led the way with hybrid development, something that was sparked by American legislation, but that dominance in the market seems to have become a crutch that was hard for Toyota to give up. Toyota developed the Prius line into a few models, including a plug-in, but why didn't they go all the way? Toyota already did a great deal of work getting electric propulsion going, and I think they could have easily slapped that together into something that equaled the Nissan Leaf, but 5 years ahead of what Nissan did. But what stopped them? I know that the older chemistry of the batteries in the early Prius was certainly a setback, and perhaps Toyota was hesitant to use those newfangled lithium batteries. But even then, with the amount of money that Toyota has, at any minute in the last 10 years or so, they could command all their engineer peons to burrow away, making a really good electric vehicle. But they didn't. And that door is closing for that opportunity. Battery supply is going to be sucked up. Middle and higher end workforce who want to secure their future will have to move away from Japan. And if General Motors had their way, the EPA would not allow Toyota to sell cars in the USA anymore. It's crazy to think that this is a possible scenario, let alone a likely one. But that's the future that we're starting to see on the horizon. In today's community comment found on YouTube, SingleSpeed says, "In order for vehicle-to-vehicle communications to work correctly, it would need to include all road users. That means motorcycles, bicycles, trucks, buses, and pedestrians, etc. Don't see that happening anytime soon." Well, SingleSpeed, I agree. I don't see that happening anytime soon either. I really didn't have that in mind when I thought about cross-vehicle communication. My idea was that vehicles could share the applicable data with another compatible adjacent vehicle, not really to choreograph a complicated maneuver, but to give the total system more sensors to work with. If Tesla cars have only a handful of cameras for their sensors, then doubling that with a nearby car would greatly help them both, I think, right? I don't know. I'm really just guessing as to how all of this operates. It's kind of fun stuff. Thanks for watching Quick Charge by Electrek. I'm Mikey G, and I hope you have a great day.